Hi, hello.
Bonjour.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
And that's the extent of my Spanish. No, I can also
You say
say,
cómo se dice a lot.
I do because it's funny. I also say, this is an Arby's, ma'am. Ma'am, this is an Arby's. And the idea of an Arby's is disgusting to me on so many levels. No, I do know how to say, no hablo español, un poquito, lo siento, which is a hot fucking mess. But that's not what we're going to
No, I
talk about.
understood all that you said.
That's good.
Because that's exactly what I say to my Spanish patients at work.
Welcome to Bed Snacks and Bullshit.
Hello, everyone.
This is Emilia.
And this is Tarlin.
Per usual, we always start off these episodes with whatever comes to our brain, and that's mainly because I never know when she's going to hit the record button.
This is very true. Very true. And if
So,
you hear that snap or crackle, that was definitely my shoulder.
and if you hear snuffling like an anteater, that is my overly attached dog. Only one of them, the other one got kicked out. There might still be a cat under your desk.
Oh, okay.
I
Well, the
don't.
sheet is covering it up, so who knows?
Spooky.
Spooky.
So we talked about breakups.
Yes.
We talked about one of my many plethora of breakups.
Yes.
And then we talked about you and breaking up with a job.
Yes.
But we also talked about the whole point of you leaving the job, which was for IVF.
Yes.
So we thought that the listeners, I'm going to continue to say viewers, and we're just going to have to
You
suck
just
that
said
up.
listeners, though. That was great.
Thanks, but I
You
had
didn't
to
even have to
pause
say it.
in my brain, though. I said viewers.
No, you said listeners, and then you were like, I'm just gonna keep saying viewers. I'm like, but you didn't.
Oh.
You were doing great.
TBI. if we ever get merch, we just need to have that like on a hoodie. TBI.
Like, spoiler alert, TBI.
And people will be like, isn't that supposed to say TMI? No, no,
No,
no,
no,
no.
no, no.
TBI. Anywho, so we realized that we have kind of talked about it, but not super in depth. If our listeners don't know us personally, they don't really know what's going on. So, in stereotypical us fashion, talking about going back to the whole reason of this podcast is talking about what it's like to be in your 30s and a millennial and in 2024 and talking about the things that, you know, isn't safe to bring up at Thanksgiving dinner because Auntie Karen or Uncle Kevin are cunt bags. So we're going to talk about IVF, fertility, and overall just children in general, and how you and I are polar opposite and why we started this in the first place, which is to be relatable. So how and since tonight is the night before the eve of your adventures.
It is the eve before our next travels, yes.
She is leaving me. So, I mean, I am going to make this about me because I'm a selfish bitch, but I'm going to miss you. Mainly, I have to feed myself, and I don't like doing that. It's also really hot, and I don't like turning on the oven. I don't like turning on the oven ever.
I mean, you definitely don't have to turn on the oven. We have an air fryer if that makes you feel better.
If it makes you feel better, we already have people who have taken money into my pool of how much weight I'm going to lose while you're gone.
Wow, okay. I did not know that was a thing. All right.
But that's because I have to lose the weight so I can have like pregnancy sympathy weight with you, and that's going to be totally fine. But anyways, I digress. So tomorrow you leave for IVF.
I sure do. So, I know I briefly touched upon it in last episode and kind of the reason for either leaving jobs, quitting jobs, was essentially
What do you want?
what do I want?
Which is a very difficult question
Which
for you.
came down to I want a baby. I want to be a mom.
And that's the job we need to focus on.
Right.
I say we for support kids. As T reminds me often, her and I are not having a baby. This is not my baby.
She actually has to remind herself of that.
Listen, I moved across the country.
You did, for two reasons.
Cheaper living and racism?
No. So you could be the fairy godmother, and so I wouldn't have to go back home and bury you. So, but anyways, that's another conversation for another day.
And now I'm here to make sure you don't bury Alex when you're pregnant.
Okay, that's fair.
Getting back to this.
Yes. So I will do a reverse, back it up.
Rewind. Remix.
So, ironically enough, my last, like, pack of birth control was October of 2019. So, literally, I had taken the last of my birth control pills literally, like, the weekend of Nick and Laura's wedding. And Nick and Laura are the couple that we're staying with out in Colorado while we do our IVF journey. So, like, wicked fucking weird full circle.
We do moment. Love fate serendipity.
We, yes. Somehow the synchronicities are just on point as per usual. So, I had just turned 30 and I was like, all right. You know, we're in Texas. We both have really good jobs. Maybe it's time to start considering, you know, starting a family. Because literally, the moment Alex and I got married, and engaged, quite honestly, or even together, everyone was like, when are you gonna have babies? Blah, blah, blah. And
which, we'll talk, like, sidebar, because I'm also learning a lot of this with our listeners, mm-hmm. as a reminder that you and I have been best friends for years, mm-hmm. but you and I we had, like, this weird understanding with each other, mm-hmm. But sometimes we forget, like, oh, I didn't realize that, or I didn't know that in that much detail. So with that,
I think a lot of stuff, like, you and I both, we live our lives, but we don't necessarily share, like, every intimate detail.
No, usually it's years later and we're like, wait, what?
Right, exactly.
But what I wanted to touch upon with that, too, because with this topic and mm-hmm. all of our topics, I want to also have that repertoire, that conversation, whatever. I'm not a thesaurus. Anyways, that question right there, if mm-hmm. we could just pause this song for a hot second. Mm-hmm. That question is so archaic.
It is.
And so I would rather you ask me who I'm voting for or how much money I make.
Right.
To me, that is none of your fucking business, dude.
And it was all of the, I don't want to say archaic people, but a lot of people at the time who were over the age of like 50 asking me that these questions. And it's like, yeah, I understand you're 50, I'm 22, like, I just got out of nursing school, can I have like a hot sec? We're not even engaged yet. And even when we weren't engaged, people were like, hey, when are you gonna get engaged? When are you gonna get married? When are you gonna have kids? It's like, I don't fucking know. When it happens, it happens. And when I know, you'll know.
And like, and that's like what I want to discuss for mm-hmm. a hot second with you right now. Sure. Is just how disrespectful, like, and how people want to make it like, oh, millennials just want everything. First of all, you're confusing us with Gen Zs, which is going to be its own episode. Second of all, I can't afford to rent.
Or even Gen X.
Right. Like, I can't afford to even rent, let alone own a house. Like, dial it back.
Right.
And I feel like with a lot of like our Gen X, boomers, whatever, the generations make no sense to me. What they're forgetting is what you're viewing as laziness or like not living up to your potential is no, my guy, we're healing. We're trying to fix the planet that you messed up. We're trying to how many, like, depressed, quote unquote, depressions have we gone through? Not us individually.
I was going to say, whoa, we don't have time to count that on this episode.
I'm still depressed. But the fact that it's like, especially with you and Alex, who have, like, I always like to tell people who've been together since the womb, I have always admired how you were like, I'm going to live my life. Always, when I describe you versus me, I always tell people, you are a boomer's dream of what a millennial is supposed to be. You did everything right. You dated. You got engaged. You mm-hmm. got married. You got your degree. You got mm-hmm. your master's degree. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, did all of these things. You lived your life. You were there. All of this.
And I still can't get pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that shit fucking hurts.
It hurt then. It was offensive then, and it hurts now. So continue where you were going.
So at that time, I wouldn't even find it offensive. I found it intrusive more than anything. Because at the time, obviously, you don't know that you're going to have issues with fertility or whatever, but I knew having children wasn't something that neither of us wanted to rush into. Like, I have best friends back home and I love them to death, but some of them were teen moms and I saw them struggle. They are, you know, in such great places now, but I saw that and I was like, I don't necessarily want that for myself, but also with my own parents, they struggled, and my mom had me at 32 and my dad was 34 and they still struggled, you know. And so I was like, I'm gonna give myself until at least 32 before I'm like super super serious about it. And so when I hit 30, I was like, all right, we're kind of getting close to 32. And, you know, there was already such high societal pressure.
Yes.
To be a mom, because that would always be the first thing people would ask me is, hi, what's your name? Do you have any children? And it's like, why can't you ask me, like, what I do for a living? What are my hobbies? Am I happy? Like, why does it have to be, do you have any children?
And it's worse because you're a military wife. Would you
agree? Exactly. Absolutely. Okay. Because there is such, you get married, you have kids right away. And it's like, why don't you have kids yet? And it's like, because I don't want them yet. Like, I still want to enjoy, like, having my husband all to myself and, like, not having to share him. You know what I mean?
Being selfish.
And, like, and not necessarily even selfish, just putting us first and enjoying it and traveling and doing things without
guilt or
not even without having to worry about another person. That it's like, okay, we can go to the movies and, like, we could be like, okay, it's 10 p.m. We can make a 10:30 showing. With a baby, there is none of that. There is no spontaneity because there is so much planning and, you know, packing diaper bag or whatever. And even if it's a toddler, you can't bring a fucking toddler to an R-rated movie.
Don't be
and
that
people
guy.
People who do,
don't be that
we
guy.
See you. Don't be that person.
I literally wish some of the absolute worst inconveniences on you for the rest of your life. Like, I hope every time you order a coffee, they only give you decaf. Do not bring your child.
I don't remember what movie Alex and I were at, but someone literally strolled their baby out at midnight. And I was like, what the actual fuck? And it's like, I get you might not have babysitters and stuff, but, like, wait till the movie fucking comes out on video or Netflix or whatever. I know I just said video and that just dated myself, but I don't care.
Which, I mean, you already dated yourself with your timeline, but whatevs. Well, that goes back into that whole thing. When I said the term selfish, mm-hmm. we have, society puts such a negative connotation on that. Like, mm-hmm. oh, you're selfish. You must be like, no.
Yes, selfish is typically seen as a negative.
No, it's 9:30 at night on a Sunday. Your goal is to be in the car in the next 12 hours. Mm-hmm. I have work in 15, mm-hmm. and you and I are just beginning our night of recording, and we can do that because there isn't a baby in the house.
Right.
Because there is no responsibility.
Right.
Like, I definitely just stuffed a little Debbie snack in my face right before we started recording.
I had a glass of wine with dinner.
Yeah. And we're going to continue to... It's being able to do that. And yes. like a perfect example of what you just said
and
is...
And it's like, why should I feel guilty about wanting to live my life the way I want to right now?
And society has done that with women so often.
Absolutely.
And now we're at that time where you're like, okay. And I'm so proud of you for having that, because a lot of people, even young women, even in their 20s, they don't realize society kind of gaslights us.
Oh, 100%.
So for you to stand up and be like, nah, I'm a be a hot mess and live my life, and also live your life with your husband, because obviously we all know how mine went. Mm-hmm. Watching you as your best friend go from doing this all quote unquote organically and like neurotypically, mm-hmm. and still not caving into the pressures of society is mm-hmm. just, it's awe-inspiring.
Yeah. Thank you.
But now we're at 35.
Right. Right.
Which we just celebrated for you.
Yes. Yes. And like, I've even talked to coworkers and managers and people who, you know, are postmenopausal who never had kids. And they were like, yeah, it was tough because there was a process that I went through where it was, you know, grieving either not having that and then being like, okay, it is what it is. Or some of them were like, nah, I never wanted kids.
Hi, it's me.
And that's okay too. So, you know, society definitely put a lot of pressure on it. Society, as in even my own, like, community, like, work community.
I would say your family and some of your
yes.
closer acquaintances as well.
Yes, yes.
And not that their intentions were anything.
They didn't do it in a malicious way.
Correct.
Like, no one asked me, hey, when are you having kids, to be malicious. But it's like, it is 2012. Like, we really shouldn't be asking those questions anymore. And... but yeah.
And now we're in 2024 and right. you are getting those questions. So tell me, how is that different now? How does that make you feel now?
Well, I get the question of, do you have any kids? And I say, not yet. There are some people or some patients who I will open up to a little bit about it. And, you know, they'll be like, oh, well, are you going to be here next week? If I need anything, can I call you? And I'll be like, no, I'm not going to be here. Like, oh, how come? Because I'll be in Colorado. My husband and I are going through the IVF process right now. And they're like, oh my gosh, I wish you such luck.
Yeah.
You know, so I get a lot more positivity than negativity now. And I obviously share what I want to, and I don't share what I don't want to. And I share it with people who I want to, and I don't share it with people who I don't want to. And so going back in the way back time machine again, 2019, 30, off of birth control, Alex and I were like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It took me until 32 to realize that I had been lying to myself pretty much since I was like 17. That, like, yes, I want to have kids, like, it'll happen when it's natural, But, like, really, my entire life, the thing I wanted to be the most, like, the number one job I wanted to have the most was be a mom. More so over being a nurse. More so over being a nanny taking care of other people's children. I was like, I want kids of my own because I wanted to give them a better life than I had.
Absolutely.
Growing up. And that is definitely another reason why I waited so long, is so that we could, okay, date, get engaged, get married, have stable careers, feel financially okay, because, like, who the fuck knows what that means anymore? Like, kids are expensive no matter what, how much money you make or whatever. And, you know, trying to do it the quote-unquote traditional route, or doing it the quote-unquote right way. And no matter what, it was always, it came down to, if it happens, it happens, it doesn't, it doesn't. And I was just lying to myself.
I also want to kind of point out, too, that I also feel like you going the quote-unquote organic and natural, I already forgot what word you used, way about this, mm-hmm. was also admirable because you wanted to make sure you weren't going to live vicariously through your children. And right. that's a huge thing that I think as millennials we suffered from our parents.
Yes.
Is they were still on that boom, like their parent, our grandparents are as boomers, mm-hmm. raising them, being like, gotta get married. I mean, my biological mother got married at 17.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And, you know, so we're that first generation breaking these curses.
Yes, trying to break the cycle, for sure.
And so that's also something, like, you wanted to be, quote-unquote, irresponsible without any direct consequence or, mm-hmm. or having to think it's selfish. We'll go mm-hmm. with that term because I really want to kind of get that negative connotation out.
Sure.
So you're 32. You've done things. You've done everything you're supposed to.
Yeah.
You're, you know, got, made sure you guys were financially stable. You got your schooling situated.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving. You and your husband are doing great.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. And now.
Yeah. So when we moved to Kansas in 2021, sorry, that was an ankle crack. I regularly snap, crackle, and pop. Thank you.
She's my little Rice Krispie treat.
So that was when I was really starting to think more and more and more about being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
So when we moved here, Alex accepted a position called Active Guard Reserve, so AGR. So he is in the Air Force and the Reserves, but he is Active Guard, so it means he is on the guard side of base, active duty. I know. It's a lot of different terms.
My eyes
I saw
over.
You glaze over. So essentially, it is like all of the benefits of active duty status without having to move, permanent change of
PCS
of station.
I do know that acronym.
Without having to PCS every 2 to 3 years or deploy if it was not, you know, he could deploy on a voluntary basis.
No one wants that shit.
Yeah. So he, actually he would, but anyway, I digress. His knee. So he, was like, hey, I can get this position, but it's in Kansas.
Which we talked about in episode 1.
Yes. So I was like, all right. So we moved here and again, I was working full-time nights as a sexual assault nurse examiner doing forensic nursing. So with that being said, we saw, we didn't just perform sexual assault cases. We performed interpersonal violence, domestic violence cases, elder abuse, child abuse, abuse against people unrelated. So it was
the worst of the worst.
It was a suspect exam. So it was essentially any intersection of abuse and neglect, we took care of it. And it was and it was a lot. Working night shift, again, not for me. And I was wicked fucking stressed. And I was like, you know, moving here, we're going to be here for probably at least a solid 10 years, at least until Alex gets out of the Air Force. At that time, we were planning on full 20-year retirement. And I was like, cool, like, let's get serious about having kids, because even before that, we probably could have before then, but I didn't want to move every 2 to 3 years with young kids and not knowing where we were going to go. And I had dealt with so much of that instability as a child. I also probably didn't want that subconsciously for my kids.
Absolutely.
So when we moved here, it was like a total flip. And then when you visited that April for your 30th birthday, you and I talked, and I was like, I really want to be a mom. This is something that I really want. And I'm like, but I'm just scared. It's Alex and I. We have no additional support. Like, what are we going to do? I have friends here, but, you know, I don't necessarily have a friend who I could call upon and they'd be like, yeah, bitch, I got you. Like, you need me to go pick them up? Cool, I'll pick them up. You need me to stay home with them and so that you don't have to miss a day's work? Cool, I got you. I didn't have that, and you offered that to me, which
sure
was fucking huge. And you're like, and I was like, yeah, I mean, and then I would love for you to be able to be their godmother. And you're like, oh no, I'm being the fairy godmother and I'm wearing fucking wings in that delivery room. So they can try and kick me out, but I'm not leaving.
And I just found ones that have LED lights. So it'll be like at an airport where guiding the baby down that canal.
Oh my God.
I did offer because I don't.
And I was like, cool. And you need to get out of your shitty ass situationship. So.
Ooh, sorry, Mama. Sorry, I just accidentally punted my dog across the room. No matter how many times we attempt to kick them out, they somehow get through in the eaves.
Yes. Yes, correct. So then we came to Alex and, you know, we made a proposition. He was like, cool, cool, cool.
That is such a weird way to put it.
I know, but we really did. I mean, I was like, if we're going to mention you moving in with us and, you know, being here for your unborn godchildren, we have to have a plan. We got to be prepared. So anyway, and then that year I had kind of been doing research.
You had done the testing that you had like sent away.
Oh yes, that's right. I forgot. So I actually did. Thank you. So I think it was February or March that I did it, and the testing was with, oh my gosh, Modern Fertility. So I decided to do the Modern Fertility testing. I kind of did it on a whim because it was 2021, it was COVID, there were still like deals and stuff going on, like 30% off, $30 off, yada yada kind of thing. So also, I was like, you know what, I've been thinking about it, I want to do this, and I don't necessarily want to be charged up the asshole for this testing through my primary care.
You also, I remember you saying you wanted to do it because I, at this point, it was subconsciously.
It had already been
a while.
Yes.
And
so
you were starting.
It had already been 2 years and nothing was happening.
And you were starting to get nervous that something might have been wrong. or you're, I think we
I made was the scared joke. That I fucked up my body with all the birth control I took, because I had been on birth control for 16 years. I did definitely more than 7 years, or maybe 7 total years of Depo Provera shots. Oh, I loved it. I didn't have a period. I had no fucking, I had absolutely no sort of PMS, nothing. Like, the Depo shot was, like, fantastic. Boomer, why did you have to hurt your mom? Why? Stop it. Can you just pick a spot, please? Thank you. I'm talking. Yeah. Anyway. So, I was really worried that I had fucked up my body in some way.
During one of the episodes where we go over our BDSM, safe sex, all of that, we will talk about birth control and our journeys with it.
Sure.
Because my reaction, we all know my journey with birth control.
Yes, 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 yes.
Continue.
So... I took that and it showed that one of my hormones that shows like your egg reserve, it was like slightly lower than what it should be for a person my age. And if it was 20, 21, I was 32 at that point. So, or I was going to be turning 32 later that year, sorry. So, my TSH was also, like, slightly elevated, but still within norm. But not at the level of where they want your thyroid levels to be when you're trying to get pregnant.
I'm assuming that's what that acronym means.
Yeah. So, okay. TSH is your thyroid-stimulating hormone. And that will... your thyroid fucking regulates like everything.
That I
almost
knew.
All the hormones in your body
did not know that
or help with it. That and your pituitary gland. So
that's such a fun word.
Your pituitary gland stimulates your thyroid. But anyway,
hip bone is connected to the.
So, with that being said, I was like, shit. So. I saw my doctor later that year. I did like a Well Women's. She was like, everything looks great. Pap smear came back negative, all that good stuff. So there wasn't really anything outwardly that was showing any specific reasons why we weren't getting pregnant. So I had kind of, I was like, okay, but I kind of put it on the back burner because work, transitioning from a full-time night shift job back to PRN, doing a new clinic job in 2022, Alex and I had discussed
genetic testing.
Well, we had kind of talked about it more. And he was like, well, if I would like to do genetic testing, he's like, I don't know if I'm a carrier for Alzheimer's. I don't know if I'm a carrier for like Parkinson's or, you know, autism runs in my family, which I learned a interesting fact about autism earlier this year. But yes.
Oh, sorry. And genetic testing is great, and a lot of people, I was just using this as an opportunity that people that do want to have kids, whether you're having fertility issues or not, is a good idea.
It is.
Because, using the example I am, because again, we're using this for the listeners, is I found out that I accidentally found out that I carry the
thalassemia
gene. One of them. And I found that out just by a routine blood test, and they sent me to a hematologist who was like, yeah, so if you try to marry someone of the Mediterranean descent, you need to do this or you will, your kid will never live past.
Was it Mediterranean and Asian?
Is yeah, so correct? South Pacific and okay. Mediterranean of that. So had I not had low iron and gotten my blood done at my PCP, who then sent me to a hematologist, which is a very scary call, I would not have found that out.
Right.
So, and I never would have thought of genetic testing because that isn't. So, you know,
yeah.
That was really adult way to go mm-hmm. about that. And also just using this as an example of like yeah. why you should. So
right.
you guys did the genetic testing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, fun fact though, with genetic testing, and especially if it's for fertility reasons, 99.9% of the time you do have to go through a fertility specialist. For you,
oh, okay.
obviously it was a different situation. But so that's kind of where I was getting into that. So Alex was like, yeah, I really want to do genetic testing just for XYZ. And I was like, okay, sure. So I told him, I was like, well, if we do that, we need to see a fertility specialist. And I was like, I had talked to some coworkers at the cancer center, and they had recommended a doctor. And I talked to my PCP. She wrote me a referral to this place. And then Alex's primary care wrote him a referral to urology and to the fertility specialist. The doctor who I tried to see, he retired, so I saw a different doctor, and she was fantastic. It took us a couple months to get in, just because that is typical, unfortunately, for fertility. Yeah, it was like,
wasn't that also the time that like everything going on with Alex, like they were doing the referrals and they kept losing them or something?
Stand by. Sir, can you get out of there, please? Thank you.
You guys are being extra terrorist-y tonight. Sorry, pup kite is on the loose.
Oh, gosh. Well, that... Fast forward to July 2022 is when he dislocated his kneecap.
Oh, so, I did not realize that that's yeah. what he did. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
How? Ugh. No, thank you.
Yeah. So that was when he was like, cool, I'm going to go to my doctor and ask him about all of these things that have been happening for like the past 15 years in like one to three visits.
So stereotypical male.
Stereotypical. And so then I think we had our first consult with her actually maybe in August. So because I think it was right after we went to Comic-Con that year.
Okay.
So it was August or September that we ended up doing a consult with her. She sent me for a bunch of testing. So, bunch of blood work, all that stuff.
That testing was rough.
I had the histogram done, or as other people would more clearly enunciate it, a hysterogram is also known as HSG, or a hysterosalpingogram. And it is where they use X-ray dye and they put that into your uterus and it travels up into your fallopian tubes and they look to see if you have any obstructions, blockages, fibroids, that sort of thing. And then a saline sonogram is more looking at like your uterine health. So more like your lining, which is the endometrium. So do you actually have polyps there? Do you have any fibroids? Any anomalies within the uterus and the uterine lining?
The histogram
was fucking awful.
Oh, I know I was there.
Oh, I'm telling the listeners.
Like, it was so bad, I cried watching you.
Yeah, so I imagine it's what it's like to get an IUD times 10. So, I almost passed out. So, fun fact, I have vasovagal syncope. So, I pass out when my vagus nerve gets stimulated. And your vagus nerve essentially runs all throughout your entire body. So, it's the nerve that when people are trying to poop and they pass out, that's the nerve that gets stimulated.
Sorry, I'm not.
So, it, you know, it happens with intense pain. So people who pass out from like the sight of blood, they pass out with
temperature changes.
Sure.
And you are a conundrum. Like, I feel so bad for you and your medical stuff sometimes. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
So when like people are getting their IV, like blood draws done, that sort of thing, that is a vasovagal response. And the passing out part is syncope. So, I almost had a vasovagal. The pain, I would say, since then, I thought it was a 10 out of 10. Nah, that shit was a 9 out of 10 because I did not pass out. Everything was great. And I was like, yay, I'm so happy because I never want to fucking have that again. So, my stuff came back relatively normal again. Some labs were, like, slightly off, but nothing to say it was a Tarlin egg reproductive system issue.
Which, when it comes to fertility issues, it usually is on the woman.
Yeah,
that's what we hear. That's what we hear most.
That's what we hear the most. But I think it's because male infertility isn't talked about a lot because
society.
The woman gets pregnant. It's the woman. You know, much like back in the day when kings were like, "You need to give me a fucking male heir." It's like, homie, that shit comes from your sperm. But anyway, so, Alex went to the urologist, and he had some testing done. He had ultrasounds, that sort of thing, too. And come to find out, he just has a very low count. I'm going to leave it at that, because I don't know how in-depth he wants me to get with his information. So, he went on 3 months of Clomid to help with his numbers. And when we got those numbers back, they actually stayed the same, if not were worse. So it was recommended that we freeze sperm sample, or we go straight into doing IVF, because at that point it was a less than 1% chance of getting pregnant naturally, which was a huge blow.
And that would go, going back into when that happened, it wasn't just a huge blow for you and for Alex, but it was also God's plan was thrown around a lot, and how then people started to give you advice.
Yes, unsolicited advice.
Like, you need to have sex more. I believe, was one of them.
Not only that, it was also stressless. And I swear to fucking God, if you are someone who tells a woman who's trying to get pregnant to stress less, go fuck yourself into the sun. Because unless a woman is, like, fucking comatose, we will never not worry. I'm sorry. Like, that's just impossible. And when you're trying to get pregnant, not worrying about getting pregnant, it's just not a real thing. And also, prior to this, when I had my first consultation with the doctor, I saw my primary care, like, a month later. And I decided proactively to get back onto antidepressants and to actively start looking for a therapist again, because...
So you could stress less.
I'm sorry. I'm no, because I, one of my big worries, because I have a history of depression, was postpartum depression.
Another topic we don't talk about, because...
Right.
Society.
Right. So, that was something that I was always really worried about. So, I had already been doing that proactively. And so, in January, when we found out, I'm sorry, before we had even found out about Alex's numbers and his Clomid, we were actually hoping that we could do IUI, which is insemination, so intrauterine insemination, and it would be like $6,000 to $8,000 to do it. And then, because she was like, right now your chances of getting pregnant are like less than 1%. And then we did the 3 months. Alex did the 3 months of Clomid. January was the other follow-up, and she was like, even if you do IUI, I don't even have enough sperm to utilize for you to get pregnant. She's like, men typically start at 25 to 30 million. He's working with 3. And she's like, I need 10 to 15 to even do the insemination. And Alex is like, we can try it. And I'm like, I love you so much, but I am not spending $6,000 to $8,000 on something that's going to give us less than 1% chance. I'm like, I am not a fucking gambler, and we don't have that kind of money that we can just do that. And I'm like, I love you for even offering that, but like, no. So then at that point, we were left with traditional IVF. We didn't want to go down adoption route yet. We didn't even want to talk about surrogacy route. I wasn't even ready to start talking about those things yet. I'm still not ready to even consider those things yet. So, the doctor was like, well, I'll have you talk to one of our financial nurses, cut you some numbers, and then, you know, if you guys decide to do IVF, then, you know, contact us when we're ready. So I had a phone call with the fertility financial personnel, and it was going to be just shy of $25,000. Right. And I was like, we don't even have $8,000 to do IUI. We don't have $25,000 to do IVF. So then I was like, I knew it was going to be around that number, but actually hearing it from someone who is in that profession, you're just like, well, fuck me. So that was pretty upsetting. And I talked to one of my girlfriends at the cancer center, and she actually had a friend who she used to work with, and also was a military spouse who went through IVF. So she helped kind of connect us. And then we talked, she told me she had a friend who went out to Colorado Springs to do IVF, and it was about $8,000 for her. And I was like, well, shit, $8,000 is way better than $25,000. So in, I can't believe that was only just last year, but in November of 2023, we had a consult with the place out in Colorado Springs where we were going, and it is called CNY Fertility. They have locations in New York, Florida, Colorado, and maybe one in Georgia. I can't remember. But anyways, you can go to cnyfertility.com and you can kind of look them up.
This is not a promotion. She's
just... No, that's just where I've gone and have had luck. And I had that consultation. Went really well. So then she was like, yeah, so when do you want to start? And I was like, well, spring 2024. And she was like, okay. So it gave us 3-ish months to kind of get everything in place, figure out numbers, figure out travel, all that good stuff. Hey everyone, I just wanted to add a note in here. I forgot to talk about, in this meantime of this 3-month period, I had to get more labs done, and the new fertility place also recommended that I get a saline sonogram. So very similar to the histogram with the dye, however, this time they use saline and then they do a sonogram at the same time. So that one I passed out at. So that was 10 out of 10 pain for me. Absolute worst. They were like, oh, you're just going to feel a little bit of pressure. Yeah, it wasn't just a little bit of pressure. It was fucking excruciating. And unfortunately, there's really nothing that can get done about it. And also, going back to the vagus nerve, it mostly innervates your heart, lungs, and digestive tract. But it can also, again, lead to people to pass out with a sight of blood, pass out with pain, that sort of thing. So, yay! Anyways, back to the recording. And then that's when we went in March, mid-March, to like first-ish week of April. So I had to do multiple subcutaneous injections, which are injections into the fat, so abdominal injections. I did them on myself, which, fun fact, I could never be a tattoo artist who has to tattoo on themselves, or a piercing artist who would have to, like, pierce themselves or anything like that, because the first time I went to do it, I hesitated, and I was like, and I did the injection slow, and it fucking hurt. And I was like, yeah, that sucked. So, but as a registered nurse, I give shots all the fucking time.
And I'm like, babies.
Yes, two babies too. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's like not that big of a deal. You know, after you do your first two in nursing school, you're like, yeah, this is great. Doing it to myself, I was like, nah, I could never be a self-harm drug addict type person. So no heroin for me, guys.
if it helps, as someone who suffered from it as a when I was younger, I can't do injections, which is why I never went to paramedic school, because I was like, this grosses me out. And people were like, weren't you used to like self-mutilate? And I was like, correct. Moving on.
Yeah, about that. Gotta go.
Not that self-harm is funny. It's
yes.
Just get off our podcast. You know who I am at this point.
Gallows dark humor. We did warn you guys.
Ayo.
So then I did 2 weeks of injections and oral meds, and then we did the first egg retrieval on April 1st. Boy, was it a fucking fool's day. So they got 12 eggs. So what they do is, sorry, Amelia, drain each follicle.
See an enemy.
They drain each follicle in hopes that there will be an egg in there on left ovary and right ovary. Even if the follicle is not mature size, which is less than 18 millimeters, they will still collect from that follicle. And when I came out of my, my anesthesia, not local anesthesia, Jesus, conscious sedation, I had 12 eggs, which was great. Because typically they say, if you get 12 eggs, we want half of those to be mature and we want half of those to turn into embryos. So I was like, cool, 12, 6, 3. All right. Not terrible numbers at the moment, because I probably don't want more than 2 children at the moment. Who knows? So then the next day I got the call. And I had 2 mature eggs, but only 1 turned into an embryo. And that was really deflating. That was really hard. And then4 weeks later, we got our genetic testing done. And that's when we found out that the embryo was not viable for life, and that it would have been a girl. So, yeah, that was also really tough. Went from 12 eggs to 2, to 1 embryo to none. And I was like, okay, well, I've done everything right. I've done everything I could. It was out of my hands, but it was still fucking shitty. And just not fair. So right now, I'm dealing with the sadness. And then Soup, the duckling, came into our lives via the Taco Bell drive-thru.
Operation Orphan Brigade that I single-handedly run with your husband.
Yes, yes, exactly. So, she distracted me for the 8 weeks that it took up until our next cycle of egg retrieval. Because in this meantime, I had a follow-up in May, and I was like, okay, understand our egg, or embryo is not viable, so what do we do now? And I had probably the worst doctor I could have ever had a follow-up appointment with.
He was a cunt.
He was a fucking douchebag. And he told me verbatim I was doomed from the beginning. Well, how would I have been known that
I was doomed?
How would I have known that I was doomed from the beginning if I hadn't done XYZ or whatever? And he's like, well, you were put on letrozole and you didn't need to be on the letrozole. And you were on Ganirelix and you really should have been on Menopur. and you were on HCG. You didn't need all that. And I'm like, cool. So your nurse practitioner who
works at a fertility clinic,
who works at the fertility clinic, you know, provided me with this mini IVF, and you're saying, oh, it's doomed from the beginning. So why are you having...
And there goes $8,000.
Right, exactly.
I was so mad that day.
So I'm like, so you're telling me that I just fucking wasted all of this money? And he's like, yeah, and I don't believe in the PGT, which is the genetic testing. And I'm like, yeah, but if I didn't have the genetic testing done, I would have had the transfer done, which would have been $3,000 more, and I would have miscarried. He's like, no, you wouldn't have gotten pregnant. And I was like, right, exactly. So I still would have been heartbroken regardless.
Just even more in debt.
And then at one point, I didn't tell him I was a registered nurse because honestly, when I'm dealing with other healthcare professionals, I tried not to, because there's always a negative connotation of another healthcare professional taking care of another healthcare professional. There just always is. There is a fucking stigma. So,
or we make the worst patients.
Right. And there's a stigma that nurses make the worst patients. And I'm like, sorry, I'm not the worst patient.
No, but I am. Hi.
Yeah. EMT Amelia. So then he was like, once I told him I was in the healthcare field, he kind of like smoothed his feathers out a little bit, but I was still really fucking off put. He wanted to put me on metformin, and I didn't really understand why, because metformin is typically used in women who have polycystic ovarian disease, PCOS. And he didn't really explain the purpose of switching around medicines, not taking them, that sort of thing. So
I was like, he's a fucking dick.
Yeah, he really was. I have my notes somewhere, but anyway. Oh, they're upstairs. Anyway, so I got off the phone with him. I talked to Amelia. I immediately started crying because I was like, nothing's going right. It's not fair. I'm like, I did everything I was supposed to, and he said I was doomed from the beginning. And that just really, really fucking blew. So I think that brought me back onto a depression spiral.
A flare up, as we call
it. Or a flare up.
Depression, yes. Flare ups.
Yeah. Well, it flared up and then I spiraled it down. So, I was definitely self-isolating, staying in bed, sleeping in, getting to work late.
The house was really, really tense.
Yes. I will agree with you, because emotionally I really wasn't there.
This isn't
me. I just felt overwhelmed, and like every task felt daunting. Taking a shower felt daunting. Getting out of bed. And I can admit that now, because my husband had a quarterly meeting with me, and I was like, oh shit, yeah, I need to get the fuck out of my own way, because it's now affecting my marriage. So that was a big eye-opener for me, that I needed to not only be present for myself, but I needed to be present for him, too. Because I didn't recognize he was also struggling. But anyway. So I then, June 3rd, had a second opinion follow-up with the doctor in Colorado Springs, who he was actually the physician who performed my retrieval. And he said, unfortunately, the triploidy happened. He's like, it didn't happen because it was a 5-day embryo and we froze it. He's like, that's just not correct. He's like, so I don't know where this doctor from such and such clinic location got that from. He's like, you know, you let's look at the numbers. You had 12 eggs, only two were mature. And he was like, your follicle sizes were all over the place. And meaning they were all measuring different sizes. And he's like, out of those, you only had two mature eggs. So that tells me that we need to synchronize your follicles to grow at the same rate, around the same time. And that we probably have to do a stimulation. So my follicles need to be stimulated for closer to 10, 11 days versus 9 days. He's like, stimulating your follicles for maybe 2 more days last time could have resulted in more mature eggs. He's like, but we have all of this information from your past one. He's like, so I can't even say that it was a failure because it wasn't, because we learned from that information. He's like, I never would have said you were doomed from the beginning. He's like, these things, yeah, maybe I don't agree with them. He's like, but we can change them around now. It is, all hope is not lost. Like, we can adjust these and, you know, hopefully it will result in a successful pregnancy. So, I am a woman who does not have a regular 28-day cycle. Never have. Probably never will. The only time I did was on birth control pills, and that wasn't even a true period. That was just a, Anyway. Withdrawal bleed. So it's not even a true period that happens. Sorry, Amelia.
I'm learning so much, and I'm just... She keeps apologizing because I was traumatized from my time in healthcare field. So there are certain words that are, when used in the medical field...
Yeah, it grosses her out.
Because they are regarding that, like, there's just... So when I think of drainage, I think of wound care. And then I get that smell back, and I'm like, you know what? F this noise. So that's why she's apologizing to me. And in case anyone is wondering why I'm making really... ill-timed jokes, it's to keep tea from... I'm trying to be her rock.
I'm okay for right now. Thank you.
You're always okay, sweetheart. You're always...
No, I'm fine.
That was a lie.
Where'd I leave off at?
The doctor that didn't suck.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And he said, no, I would definitely recommend doing the genetic testing because... we wouldn't have known why your transfer didn't result in a non-pregnancy. And he did say, with triploidy, I would have just not gotten pregnant. There would have been, my body would have totally rejected it. There would have been no implantation, no positive pregnancy test, nothing like that. Which would have been fucking devastating because...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the negative aspect of it is it's a lot of fucking money. So then I think of money wasted. And, you know, luckily we have a fantastic mother-in-law, and Alex has a fantastic mom who is willing to help us out. And definitely wouldn't be able to do any of this without her.
Love her so much.
By any means, yeah. Truly. She is the real MVP. So, we talked about that. He explained, for myself, the metformin will help to regulate my cycle and help with my egg quality, help my follicles, kind of just like general ovarian health. I've also been on human growth hormone, also known as Omnitrope, which is...
She has not grown.
Hella expensive. I have not gotten any taller. I have not gained any weight. Unfortunately, I have not gotten taller. I am
wanna
still...
Wanna be a baller.
I am still 5'1 and 3/4 on a good day.
So many step stools in this house.
So many. So then I'm taking levothyroxine because, again, your thyroid hormone has to be at a level which is conducive to pregnancy, which is about 2.5 to less than that. I'm taking naltrexone for uterine health and a shit ton of fucking supplements also to help with egg quality. So again, I feel like a hen at the county fair trying to win the blue ribbon for the highest quality eggs up in this bitch.
I'm going to get you a blue ribbon.
Shut the front door!
Ma'am.
No.
Ma'am. Pupkaita, calm down.
Osama bin Laden, go back to your cave.
Go back to your sleeper cell.
Yeah, that's right.
And she's
R.I.P. No. Rest in distress. Not Osama bin Laden. Not your bin Laden over there.
Okay.
Not Xena.
I love how you said R.I.P. for him. He's not dead. Yeah. We all know he's at Guantanamo. Ooh, that's a conspiracy theory I can talk about.
Listen.
That's a conspiracy theory. That...
Agree to disagree on that.
That's fine, but I am going to bring that up at the wedding.
No,
they
we should
bring up
talk.
Lizard people.
Oh, okay. Duly noted. We do need to add on an episode about conspiracy theories and which ones we believe in the most and why.
So I'm going to write that down right this second because I'm actually on our episode ideas.
Oh, good.
Conspiracy. So, like, for example, how I don't believe we landed on the moon.
Correct.
Check, 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 check.
Correct.
And, okay.
I'm not telling you mine. Anyway. So... Where did I leave off again?
You're naming all of the meds.
Oh, the meds. Doesn't... All the fucking drugs. So,
she's on a bunch of them. She takes a bunch of pills.
Yes.
Still giving herself shots.
Yes. The Omnitrope, the human growth hormone, that is a subcutaneous injection. I've done it in my thighs a couple times. They haven't bruised every time, but they have been bruising more, so... I think it's more related to I have now gotten my period, so I think I just bruise more easily around that time of the month. So, you know, blood loss, it's great. So, yeah. Thursday, I will start more medicines to further stimulate my follicles.
Pretty much the same.
Help with my hormones. I'm still taking Provera, which is medroxyprogesterone. So I will be on that one until further notice. I don't
let you know there's a lot of meds and words you're using, and I am remembering zero of them.
I'm not asking you to remember them.
No, I know. I was just stating a fact.
Okay.
I'm trying to make you smile.
Okay. So that one, I'll be on it until further notice. And then... Yeah. So...
Round two.
Yep, round two. Technically starts on Thursday, but we'll be in Colorado tomorrow. And then I'll go for my first round of testing on the 29th. Hopefully, retrieval will be first week of August. So.
Dodging a Scorpio, baby.
Well.
Yes.
It's transfer. Transfer is when we have to worry about that, not egg retrieval.
Listen. No Scorpios. The child has to love me.
I mean, if we do it in October, could be a Leo.
Leos and Aries get along great. They're fantastic.
Okay, but it's not all about you. So.
Incorrect.
But yeah, so that's what I have. Sorry that some of it was repetitive. Really, the past 2 weeks have been rough.
All of July has been rough. Let's just call it a spade a spade.
Yeah. Today's the 21st, so yeah, like the past 2 weeks have been rough. Yeah, I know it's been 3 weeks, but really, like, the second week is really when it fucking popped off. Stop it. He is fine. So, anyways. That's what I've got. So, in the next episode, we'll talk about Amelia's kids.
She thinks we're going to sign off on just this. She's precious. Like, I haven't been sitting here waiting for me to talk about.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I know. When I'm the worst. The fact of how proud I am, as always, which I know is a broken record.
Thank you.
But for our listeners, my sister, a.k.a. T., is one of the, not even one of, she is the strongest woman I know on so many levels.
Thanks.
And it's also one of her biggest faults because she always shows up for everybody else. And I want to take this time to show up for her and to let you guys know that this wasn't repetitive, and even though it seemed long to you guys, it was just the cliff notes.
Yeah.
I've been here for 3 years watching.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to watch you because there are just some people who, you're right, it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing has broken my heart more than knowing the type of mom you are going to be and mm-hmm. haven't been. You're that mom that I needed when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So we make jokes how you and Alex have essentially been raising me,
mm-hmm.
practicing yes. for teenage years. you know, you're welcome. But
that you it haven't was... snuck out of the house, so I think we're doing okay.
That she knows of.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
No, the dogs would absolutely give me away.
They sure
dicks.
The fuck would.
So the sheriff is our neighbor. I couldn't even sneak anyone in if I wanted. Jesus. I am 33 years old. But I also want to just kind of take this moment to discuss, like, not only is IVF challenging for all of this, it's also a lot of, during this time frame, watching you console other people when the embryo didn't work out.
Mm.
Because, man, I have never wanted to physically assault so many people in your life, like anybody who called you.
Yeah, the since we're going to the second round, more and more people have, or when I started telling people, because like a lot of people were excited and they were like, so how are you? How's everything going? And I was like, not good. Our embryo is not viable. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Have you thought about surrogacy or adoption? I'm like, bro, I haven't even fucking grieved yet. Like, I haven't even had a pregnancy loss yet. Like, I don't even know that I need adoption or surrogacy. Like, I don't even want to fucking think about that right now, because then I'd have to think about a potential loss that I'm going to have. So, like, no, I haven't fucking thought about it. But actually, I have thought about it, and I don't know. The answer is I don't know what I would want to do.
And that goes back
because into... what if surrogacy doesn't happen? You know what I mean? Like, what if the baby, what if there's a loss that way?
There could be a million what ifs.
Because I even know people who have had adoptions fall through, or, you know, unfortunately, the adoption resulted in loss of that pregnancy. And, you know, it's, there are so many different possibilities for loss that people don't talk about those. And it's just like, oh, well, try something else. There's always other options. And it's like, maybe, but every other option not only costs money, but it also costs emotional bandwidth.
But also, we're not fucking there yet.
Right. But also, I haven't even completely healed from my own trauma yet. And that's another reason why, you know, it's taken 30, you know, year, whatever, 12 years for us to finally say, like, hey, yeah, let's start a family. And it's like, I have had my own shit to deal with. And going back to therapy and being proactive so that I can be the best person and mom that I can be, so I don't continue that cycle. And, you know, watching different parenting videos and reading different books of gentle parenting, and that gentle parenting doesn't just have to be letting your kids roam fucking free and do whatever and run amok of everything. It's, you know, loving them with respect, but also teaching them boundaries in a respectful way without corporal punishment.
And those are all things that you're thinking of, and which is great. And then
I want them to raise them to be a good human.
But I wish that people were on that level with you in your life, mm-hmm. versus, because, you know, speaking about kids and being a parent, it is different. And it's just, for me, sharing my side of, like, viewing this from the outside, mm-hmm. of, because obviously I live with you, obviously you're like my sister, mm-hmm. but what it was like to watch you go through this, mm-hmm. and I was infuriated with people in your life, because I'm just like, can you just not, like, that whole thing, like, if you have nothing nice to say, mm-hmm. don't fucking say anything, mm-hmm. is a thing.
Yeah.
And once you came home from Colorado that first week or two, you were getting cards and phone calls, and I would hear you being like, yeah, I know. And I'm just like, and there were a few people in your life that are like, what do you need from me? Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? Mm-hmm. Or even when I, you know, when you called, and I was just like, yeah, let's be mad. Let's be fucking mad. Mm-hmm. Be mad. Be upset. You don't need to be positive right now. You don't. Yeah. I will hold that for you.
Yeah.
Right now, feel your feelings. And you fought it for a while, mm-hmm. because that's how trauma has shaped you.
Well, yeah, because I've always lived in survival mode. And my survival mode has been putting on a facade.
And taking care of others before yourself.
Everything is fine. I don't need to burden you with my shit. And it was easier to take care of other people than myself because I didn't have to recognize or do the work or worry about trying to navigate my own feelings and stuff, because when I stopped, that's when all the feelings and the thoughts came. So if I kept moving and I kept going, I didn't have to worry about those.
Which,
fun fact, is called dissociating, which I did not know until this most recent round of therapy.
You can't see it, but I'm smiling because I've been trying to explain this to her for the better part of 10 years. And she's like, no, 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 no. And I'm like, ha, pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, I understand your dissociation, but I wasn't dissociating.
Right.
Different.
Welcome to the club. Except it's not a club because neither one of us are present. I digress. I'm sharing that portion to get to because, like, I didn't want our listeners to think earlier when I was like, no, like, the house was tense, as in, like, mm-hmm. I was, like, looking down on you or anything. What I mean by that is I was able to recognize what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was tense, again, from an outsider perspective, because there's that time, like, I had to be respectful of how you were gonna mourn.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, life was still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my shit. Your husband had his shit. You know, a lot's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to a head. And as a family, it was further proved how strong you and your husband are.
Mm-hmm.
How strong you and me are.
Yeah.
But also, it's just, I really want people to understand, because the purpose of this portion of our podcast is talking about the stuff that makes you uncomfortable, the stuff.
Absolutely.
Because, like, all jokes aside, like, when people would call and even now, they're like, when you're getting for round two, they're trying to be positive but don't know what to say because people are uncomfortable. They don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Versus in this household, in our friendship, I'm just like, through your birthday, I ran the idea by your husband. I was like, this is what I got for our birthday. And he was like, yeah, do you really think that's a good idea? And I was like, yep, I sure do. And the gift I got you was a onesie.
Mm-hmm. And it says, the little embryo that could.
And there's bittersweet, like we spoke today, yeah, of what if there isn't anyone to fill that?
Yeah.
But what if there is? Because all I want for you right now is to be all in the moment of taking care of you.
Yeah.
So the irony of me being like, don't stress, please don't hit me. But I just want you to focus on being healthy mentally, spiritually,
right,
physically, because don't hold on to that.
Yeah.
Let me hold on to that for you. Because we're not there. Because like you just said, you spent 12 years waiting. We're not even a year into this process yet, y'all. Like, how about you just sit down with your, like,
mm-hmm,
peanut gallery. Like, mm-hmm, I don't need your opinion. She doesn't need your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I will stab you.
Yeah.
And that people listening and whatnot need to also understand, like, yes, you used a bunch of medications and medical terms and all of that, but the emotional side, because I know that in the next episode I'm going to be very logical about it and you're gonna be like, yeah, but like, let's talk about the emotion part, because that's,
mm-hmm,
what we do for each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to watch you in bed all day. It was hard to. And I remember talking in therapy about it myself and being like, she's my rock.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get her back?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the night the results came in. And because you had waited all day. And it was, you had to work late. It was such a shit Friday for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, hey, will you read the results? Because they had accidentally sent the gender on mm-hmm. the results and you didn't want to wait any longer. And I personally, and again, not making it about me, but trying to share, present like a thing, mm-hmm. was...
When it was taking you longer than 3 minutes to read a 2-page report, I was like, something's wrong.
And I made eye contact with you.
Yeah, and I knew.
And
something was wrong.
And I knew you knew. And this is going to sound so dramatic. But watching, I watched your heartbreak in your eyes. Your husband was outside. I was like, I'm going to go get him.
Mm-hmm.
And man, did I have never in my entire life wanted to run away so bad. Not because of even the emotion, but because I felt so uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm. I shouldn't be here. I wanted to let you mourn or scream or mm-hmm. whatever. So I sat outside with nighttime nature, nightmares, and I had called a friend and I was dry heaving. I was so upset because mm-hmm. I didn't want to break for you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would have done to take that from you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I'm sharing that not to like relive our, you know, our traumas. Like we could just, you know.
I mean, the more we talk about it, the easier it gets.
But I want people to really understand how truly amazing you really are.
Thank you.
And how difficult this journey is, because society it convinces us, even if we don't agree with it,
it convinces us that it's so fucking easy.
But that's also what our whole point is. If you go,
oh god, all right,
ma'am, all right, excuse me, enough, please.
We understand life is hard. Thank you so much.
Sorry, guys. There's like a lot of dogs in here.
I think they're barking at Alex.
Yeah. Hey, but sharing.
You're fine.
Is that even if you go to the nitty gritty of us, as we go back to like caveman times, hunter gatherer times, like mm-hmm. our whole purpose as human beings is to procreate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that section in you. Of like, what do you mean I can't do this thing that my body is supposed to just do, like, right. naturally? Right. Like, this is the whole purpose of having a vagina, of being a woman. And that's right. not me trying to be sexist. Please don't at me. I'm literally talking about societal expectations, even though it is 2024.
Right. Like, mammalian purpose.
And then to, you know, have this happen when you want it so bad. Like, this is just such a convoluted and layered situation. Yeah. And this Xena Jean,
she's agreeing.
She is. She's like, smash the patriarchy. So it's a convoluted and just like I was saying, sorry, we had to go on another brief thingy, majigger, whatever. Is
break.
That we have to explain and people need to understand that this is a different type of difficulty. This is different.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I know you on a personal level, so I'm also taking this time because even though you don't ever ask for validation, you don't need the validation. You are a strong, independent woman who don't need nobody. I'm sorry you're going through this, and not every apology doesn't mean I need to take responsibility. What I'm getting at is this sucks. This fucking sucks.
And this is a struggle that I never imagined we would have.
And you shouldn't. Like, that's not, you know, like when we're kids and in teenagers and even young adults, we don't like, oh, well, like, what if? Just like me getting married, I didn't think like, oh, cool, like, let me get divorced. Like, that was not in my plan. Just like this wasn't in yours. And I'm saying sorry because this is shitty. And
things... Well, not only that, like, we're young, we're healthy. Alex has two brothers who have children. Like,
you did everything right. Why is this happening?
Exactly.
And I just...
Not why is this happening. It just fucking sucks.
Right.
Like, I don't need to know the why, because I will probably... I know part of the why, which is there are fundamental issues in our bodies.
Man, I thought you were going to go with Christians again because of our episode with Zach.
The fundamental.
And I was like, no. I'm so confused.
No. There are legit issues in our bodies. There are scientific reasons why. There was a scientific reason why our embryo had an extra set of chromosomes.
Because you just overachieve in everything.
Right.
Sorry.
It just happened.
So I want you to know that I see you in this struggle.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry you're going through this, because you deserve better. But I will hold this positivity for you. And
honestly, I've stopped believing in everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, sometimes that reason is just because life sucks. That's I still believe in
it
that.
It just sucks.
It just sucks. There's no rhyme or reason.
There are some things that just suck.
And please also sidebar.
Living now in the Bible Belt, within the past like 2 weeks of like being like, yeah, we're going back. The people who have, and I will accept any form of manifestation, prayers, positive vibes, good thoughts, whatever. There have been people who have said, God has a plan. There's a plan. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, you can think that for me, and I will accept that.
But can people also just stop? Can we use this as a second? Because when someone dies, when there's a loss,
mm-hmm.
when you're going through a struggle, I'm so tired of people being like, even if it's not God, this isn't me shitting on religion, mm-hmm. but stop saying everything happens for a reason. Or God has a plan. Like, that is not what...
It's in God's plan.
It's not what you need to hear.
Was it in God's plan for me to get sexually assaulted as a child? Like, right. Was that in God's plan?
Like, just
was it in God's plan for me to struggle since I was 16 and to essentially go on my own because I had an unstable childhood? Was that in God's plan? Like...
Right. Like, and that's the thing is... That I'm just very passionate about that, especially after seeing what you go through and seeing how people reacted. Just stop. Stop giving her advice. Stop saying it's part of her plan. Stop trying to make her feel better because you're uncomfortable with the situation, because that's what this is.
Yeah.
Because people in your life don't want to talk about how uncomfortable it is.
Yeah.
And as someone who lives with you and has been going through this with you as a support system. Again, I'm not making it about me. It's just, I was getting angry for you mm-hmm. because I'm like, you don't realize that your words are literally just keeping her in bed longer.
Mm-hmm.
You're not helping, you're hindering at this point.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Like, people need to learn how to sit with your own uncomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I mean, I don't know who listens to
it. More friends and family than not who say, not necessarily say, how can I help? They're like, I'm thinking of you. Let me know if you need anything.
Absolutely.
And that is absolutely perfect to say.
And I'm not disputing that. So let me preface this with anybody that in T's life that's listening to this. Like, I'm not shitting on all of you. And nor am I even shitting on most of you. I'm saying, because it's not just with this situation with mm-hmm. you that it's been like this. There have been, and it's not even just this. It's also with loss in general. It's anything uncomfortable in life.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that people tend to...
fill the silence.
Right. Just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. It's like you said, like, it's similar to when people are like, oh, you can't sleep. Have you tried melatonin? I will actually fucking cut you and bathe in your fucking blood. Enough. So, like, please don't.
Have you tried Benadryl?
Like, don't ask T if she wants someone else's sperm. That's fucking weird. Like, It's so fucking weird. And that happened. And even my own therapist was flabbergasted. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. Just don't talk. Just don't.
Yeah.
We can laugh about it now, but on behalf of me and all of the listeners, because I'll stab anybody who tries to be negative.
In my night terrors.
I will send you off with luck.
Thank you.
And manifestations and crystals and everything else I bought you.
Listen, I'm bringing all that shit. The fertility bracelet, the mama in the making shirt.
I'm in my mom era.
The socks. Pineapples. Although it says it's my lucky transfer socks, I'm still going to wear them at the retrieval.
Which still bothers me because the pineapple and
it's
the,
a sign of fertility.
But people have been trying to tell me it's also about swinging. And I'm like, No, I thought that was flamingos, my dude.
Flamingos are for like parties. So in like military, like you put flamingos in someone's yard and they're going to be the next person to have to host a big party.
But an orgy party?
No.
All right, this is that. We'll
look. But I was also under the understanding of flamingos as well.
All right.
But no, it's now pineapples.
Very confusing. On that note.
Which I knew from back in Louisiana.
Which is also funny because it's also good hospitality. So, you know what? I don't know. But
tomato, tomato.
It's almost 11 o'clock at night, and this was a really heavy topic, so. Mm-hmm. So, I wish you all of the luck.
Thank you.
And I love you so much.
I love you too. And with that being said, you can find us on Instagram at Bedsnacks and Bullshit. Bedsnacks and as a Nancy, Bullshit. We're available on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Samsung Podcasts, Podcast Index, Listen Notes, and the RSS.com community.
You can also find us on Facebook at BedsnacksNBS. You can email us at bsnbspodcast@gmail.com, where you can send in your own bestie meet cute, hot goss, tea to spill, or whatever. But please be nice to me or T's going to respond and nobody really wants that.
As previously stated, publishing our Patreon is paused. However, in the meantime, please rate, review, and share the podcast. Again, thank you for listening. Enjoy your bed snacks.
And keep up the bullshit.
Okay, bye.
Bye.